This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to Trader Nick in the United States with the latest on all today's market moves. Nick, how are you?
I'm good, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Of course, it's non-farm payroll day in the USA, and that is the big headline today. The US economy creating 256,000 jobs in December. That really has smashed expectations. It sent yields on long-term US government debt to its highest level since 2023, and that has hit shares. This is a big story, isn't it, really? I know that most people expected something like 100,000 less jobs to be created in December, and we're way over that mark, Nick.
Yeah, coming out with 256,000 jobs added. Forecasts were somewhere around 164,000, which is a pretty significant beat. I mean, almost 100,000 jobs is pretty substantial. Usually expected to be a little slower during the holidays, but clearly the jobs market kept hiring. And, you know, this is kind of an interesting scenario because the last few days, last few weeks, we've already been on edge about a stronger dollar, rising yields. Could that put some pressure on the equity story? And, you know, clearly the dollar has been breaking to new heights almost every day, it feels. So with this jobs print, what you've got here is a confirmation that the U.S. economy is really not seeing any material slowing. And so it definitely brings up the question, has it been enough from the Fed, right? Have the interest rate hikes that we saw last year and the year before that, were they enough to really, well, we didn't see last year, but the hikes that we've seen in recent years, and then the couple of rate cuts that we saw last year, it puts into question those rate cuts. Were those too soon, too preemptive? Because now what we see is inflation is, you know, still stubbornly above the 2% target, doesn't seem to be headed in that direction anymore. And meanwhile, you've got a jobs print like this that just looks rock solid. So there's definitely a little bit of good news is bad news here, simply from the rate scenario, right? Because if you have interest rates rising, as you mentioned, the long part of the curve there really to the upside here recently in yields, that poses some issues for stocks, right? Because what happens is if you're talking indices, if you're talking equities, well, the alternative is much higher yielding bonds than you could have gotten a couple months ago. Takes a little bit of the story out of stocks, but then also, you know, just foreign investment flooding into the dollar because you're seeing these higher yields. You're seeing an economy that does not want to slow down. Meanwhile, you've got other places that are not nearly seeing the same kinds of growth as the U.S. So it's this bit of a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy here. More economic growth coming from more investment, stewing more investment. So it's very interesting to see such a persistent, you know, move higher on yields. You know, what's interesting about it, Johnny, is that we actually started bottoming out on the 10-year yield right around when the Fed actually started cutting rates. Usually it's the opposite. Through history, usually once the Fed starts cutting, the yields continue to fall. They continue to kind of front run the Fed. But in this case, we've seen the exact opposite, a reversal in yields. We are now sitting at a 4.75% 10-year yield. That is very, very high. And unemployment rate went down. And, you know, maybe one thing to talk about here, Johnny, is the change in rate expectations for the end of the year. We went into this year, expectations all over the place, some calling for 3 to 4 rate cuts, the Fed themselves giving us an outline for 2. Well, now the bond market, according to the Fed Watch tool, is signaling 1 is kind of the base case. 1 rate cut by end of year is definitely not the kind of rate cut story that a lot had hoped for going into this year. So very interesting change in developments on this side.
Indeed. And this jobs data today, Nick, has had repercussions on both sides of the Atlantic. We here in the UK hotly anticipated these numbers amid a big sell-off in government bond markets, fueled in part by growing expectations that the Fed will cut interest rates only slightly now in 2025. And you may have seen, Nick, British Chancellor Rachel Reeves. She's come under increasing pressure this week. I mean, she's only been in the job for 6 months. And that because of those government borrowing costs soaring, and that has left her with little scope to meet her self-imposed fiscal rules. And so we've now seen UK bond yields climbing even further after the publication of today's non-farm payroll numbers. The 10-year gilt yield rose to 4.85%. And that's only 0.02 percentage points higher on the day. But that is below the 16-year high of 4.93 hit earlier this week. So you mentioned growth where you are in the US. You're getting plenty of growth, but we are not here. We have rising inflation, still very high interest rates, and very low growth. It's very difficult to know how we are going to grow the economy. If you can't cut interest rates, then there'll be less money around. It just makes things a lot worse.
Yeah, I think you're kind of explaining too, Johnny, the frustration that many places outside of the U.S. are experiencing. And there's also the question around the corner of, you know, what are these new tariffs going to do to the global trade scenario? You have so much here that has changed in 2025. Again, U.S. economic outperformance does pose some further risk to other places as well. It's not just the U.S. Because again, it makes the imbalance of the currency world a little bit more interesting. So Europe, UK, you're seeing some of this imbalance. Meanwhile, you've got China also under a lot of pressure. So very interesting on that front. The currency side, the dollar continues to push higher, and this is it feels somewhat similar, at least, to the dollar strength that we saw in 2022, where dollar just kept breaking new highs, and that put a lot of pressure on other central banks to try and keep up with getting their inflation under control. The Fed was hiking at a very rapid rate because it had the economy to a degree to do so. Now we see the opposite problem. We see the economy holding up so strongly that the Fed not cutting rates is almost causing issues not just for rate sensitive parts of the U.S. economy, but other economies abroad. So really a tough setup here. And the question is, with Trump taking office in just 10 days, what kinds of change do we see on the tariff front? I could be a little bit contrarian here, Johnny, and say that I think that the tariff talks could potentially be a little bit more threat and more kind of politics than creating some massive disruption to trade. Because I think that, I've kind of gone back to this concept over and over that Trump is a big stock guy, right? He wants the stock market to do well. He may not want to just come at the cost of the stock market impose massive tariffs that cause, serious issues. That being said, you could make the argument too, though, that maybe those are short-term, struggles for a longer-term outlook. I'm not sure. But, it's very interesting with just days to go, what kinds of changes will come first, what seems to be prioritized by the Trump administration. All of that will be very, very interesting to watch.
And before we came on air today, Nick, you've also mentioned the rising price of oil as well, which won't come as welcome news to those who are hoping for lower prices. What's happening with the price of oil?
Yeah, so oil prices, I'm looking at WTI right now, up 3.6% here at the time of recording this, trading at $77.1 a barrel. I mean, that's a big jump in the price of oil for one day. And what that comes off the back of, basically, if we take a look at this, is you've got oil up nearly 4% on report that U.S. is poised to tighten sanctions on Russia's oil industry. Of course, we talk about this frequently on the podcast. What you want to look out for in the oil trade world is all about supply and demand. And when supply issues or supply restrictions due to sanctions, due to geopolitical breakouts like this, they can cause quick moves in the price of oil. So I do think that if you get back into the 80s, not only do you have some questions about the price of oil, but you also have some inflationary pressures that could come with that, which add that into the mix of what we just discussed with strong jobs data. That's certainly not what the market wants to hear right now.
And only last week, we were saying that oil was going to come down in price.
Yeah, and we'll see what kind of policy gets put into place. Of course, we haven't quite gotten to that point, but once that does happen, we'll see if these kind of moves that we're seeing in oil persist. Like, basically, can we see those fiscal policies be put into place that really reverse oil, or is that too kind of a big bark, but maybe less bite kind of initiative. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I do think that with Trump knowing that he's a low interest guy, right? He's a real estate guy. He wants lower interest rates. How do you get that? How do you get the Fed to play ball? Well, you got to help them with their inflation story. So drill, baby, drill is a pretty, you know, standard initiative. It's a pretty straightforward game plan to help with that story. So we'll have to see, again, what kind of fiscal policies take place. And I do think, Johnny, that we may see in front of us a little bit of a shift in focus from the markets off of monetary policy and a little bit heavier on the fiscal side. Now, of course, we don't know exactly how that is, but that's why I think the focus will shift. We don't know exactly what will be put into place and what will not. We have a pretty decent idea of what the Fed is likely to do, but Trump is a bit of a wild card. So I think that the market will start to pull up his Twitter feed and watch everything he has to say once more like they did years ago.
Well, it's been a significant day today, Nick. What about the week to come? Of course, you mentioned on Monday week, Trump reassuming the presidency. We've got a few days before that, though. What's happening next week?
Yeah, next week is another big round of economic data. You have CPI and PPI, so both inflation reads out of the U.S. will be big. You also have UK CPI. You have, just scrolling through here, so U.S. CPI, UK CPI, PPI, some Australian employment data, UK GDP also comes out. So big week for the US and the UK. We end out also with Thursday's retail sales and unemployment claims out of the United States. And on Friday, we get UK retail sales. So it seems like a big UK-US week next week, which will make the show and the podcast definitely interesting, Johnny.
Indeed. We look forward to speaking to you then. Thanks very much and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast,